Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Bison pregame show live in the Fargo Dome tailgate lots. It's the first Saturday in November. We've got to the good part of the college football season. North Dakota State to host Youngstown State this afternoon in the Harvest Bowl, a critical game in the Missouri Valley Conference race. Along with Jeff Kolbeck, and look who's back. They even made a sign for him.
Love it.
Where's Big E? He
they
is
missed
back.
You.
We,
they
we
missed
did.
You.
We missed you, Big E. Eric Peterson rejoins us here.
Don't get all emotional.
Yeah,
on
yeah
us
guys seemed really heartbroken the last 2 weeks.
I was devastated. I don't like it. No farm tough. There's no props. Kolbeck has no energy. It's this terribleness.
Well, you better bring energy today, Kolbeck.
We've got a great game on tap. Bo Pelini and the Fighting Penguins of Youngstown State are in town for a game of two first-place teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Of course, South Dakota State, the other team, tied for first in the league. And I think we have to start right there with the guy who's on the opposite sideline. He gets all the attention. Never mind, his football team is pretty good as well.
He has 275,000 followers. Well, it's fake Twitter account anyway. So that gives it. I think Bo Pelini is the highest profile figure to ever grace a Fargo Dome football sideline, and I don't even think it's close.
No,
really,
it's not close. This Youngstown State team comes in, Big E. They have played pretty good football. They're 6-2. They lost one conference game earlier this season. That was to South Dakota State. Their other loss was to West Virginia. They have a dominant defense, but on offense, it's not so pretty.
I think this game's going to be a referendum, actually, for the NDSU offense. Can they put that complete game together? We've seen halves. We've seen three quarters. They haven't put that full 60-minute game together where once they get that lead, they drop the hammer and finish it out. And it's not going to be easy today because this is probably the toughest defense they've seen all year, maybe the most physical front seven. So if NDSU can get it done against a front seven like this, it bodes well for them going down the stretch.
Chris Kleiman told me back earlier in the season, he thought, top to bottom, this Youngstown State team is the most talented team in the league. When you look at it, they are probably the most experienced team in the league, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Nine seniors starting on defense. That's just a ton, isn't it?
I mean,
that's a ton of experience. Bo Pelini is a defensive coach. That's where he made his name
at LSU.
At LSU, yeah. Nebraska. And he concentrates on that defense. There's no question about it. This game, this could end up 3-0, Dom. You got the two best scoring defenses in the conference. Youngstown gives up 15. NDSU gives up 18 points a game. And we'll see. Something's going to give here eventually, I would think.
I think the one difference, though, is special teams, Big E, because Youngstown is, and forgive the pun, special with that side of the football, not only in their kicking game, but their return game. And that's how they won last week against Indiana State.
Yeah, the punt return for a touchdown. I think that's where NDSU has been hurt with the injuries. Eric Perkins is a very good punt returner. You lose Bruce Anderson factor on kickoffs, a guy who can take it back to the house. So if there are more points, you know, if both teams get to the 20s, I think it's going to be either defensive touchdowns or special teams touchdowns, or both those areas setting up short fields for both offenses.
Now, the big question we've talked about, are we making too much of what happened with the Bison offense? And obviously, you know, we know they ran for 217 last week, but it was the ability to finish
really?
Off. Yes, 217 was the number. Is the ability to finish off games, which we did not see the last 2 weeks when they had Western Illinois and Northern Iowa on the ropes. I know they won both of those games, but what do we see today, especially against a quality defense like Youngstown presents?
Well, I think they've been pretty good on first down lately.
Really
we've seen
that.
A lot of runs of 6, 7, 8 yards against Northern Iowa. Where they really faltered are those illegal motion penalties. There's a couple critical ones last week that just stalled drives.
Yes.
Also, in that 2nd and 2 is now 2nd and 7, or that 2nd and 4 is now 2nd and 9. And that offense, when you're 2nd and 2, it's a pretty good offense. They also have to be better on 3rd down.
Yeah.
They have not been good on 3rd down. If you remember back to the Brock Jensen days, when he was really good, his junior and
he's
senior year,
amazing at 3rd down.
He was fantastic on 3rd down, and that's where Easton Stick, his next growth point has got to be completing that pass on 3rd down.
From watching from afar, what have you seen out of the Bison offense the last couple weeks?
I've seen good halves, but after that, being unable to sustain it, whether it's being up 2 touchdowns or their mentality is we're just going to pound it at them, try to get 1st downs, that's not getting done. But I agree with Jeff, it's that 3rd down thing. And we saw it from Easton Stick earlier in the year. At that Iowa game, NDSU was pretty good on 3rd downs. Earlier in the season, Charleston Southern and Eastern Washington, they're better than they are. They just got to get back to that 3rd down conversion thing, because that's what's been missing, that four-minute drive that maybe doesn't put points on the board, but flips the field, runs clock, and then pins the other team deep when NDSU punts. So I think that late game pound the ball between the tackles. They got to get back to that.
There is one guy that's really emerged as a really good player, and that's Jeff Ilias, who over the last couple weeks has caught touchdowns. He's become now a reliable guy for Easton Stick, and he's shown, we've always known he's had really good hands. He's shown the ability to make plays as he did the last 2 weeks with touchdowns.
I like to see him when they spread him out a little bit, yeah, too, and give him some space to run, because he's shown he's a pretty elusive receiver, too, and he's run some good patterns.
Yep.
I thought that catch at Western Illinois 2 weeks ago was
really
big
good.
Time.
What do we know about King Frazier? I think that's the big question that I think everybody wants to know going into this game. Obviously, he left last week's game at Northern Iowa with a rib injury. Chris Kleiman said he wasn't going to know until midweek what Frazier's status was for today.
I don't expect to see him today. I just think that injury, it was pretty hard.
Yeah. And
luckily, there's no breaks or cracks. Might be some cartilage issues. So I don't think you're going to see him today.
So what does that mean going
Lance
forward,
Dunn.
Then?
This is going to be Lance Dunn's game. This is going to be the first time we're going to see in, what, 2 years, where I think you're going to have one guy get 20 carries.
Really? Just the way the offense kind of dictated today?
Well, and just the injuries.
So right.
King's out. You have,
Anderson's out.
Yep. So, and Purifoy's not back yet.
Right.
Not that he's too young anyway. I think this is a Lance Dunn game.
Well, you want to get back to, you talk about the offense maybe up and down. Well, when have they been healthy? If you
That's
look at the beginning
point.
Of the year, Austin Kuhner was out. Then you get
Suspension.
Him back and you think, yep. All right, everything's going. Then Brock Robbins goes
he's
down.
Out.
Then Garrett Malmstrom
yep.
goes down. They played a week where they didn't have any fullbacks. Then Bruce Anderson goes
right.
down. He's been in and out with the ankle. Now he's out for an extended period of time. Then King Frazier
yeah.
goes down. I just
That's
think
a good point.
Part of it maybe they haven't had their full complement of players where they can get into that rhythm. They haven't had the same personnel probably for more than 2 weeks in a row, and that could contribute to maybe a little bit of that inconsistency.
Still, you look at it, though, where the leading receiver on the Bison right now is Darius Shepherd with 27 catches. That's only outdone by the fact that Youngstown's leading receiver has 10 receptions, and that brings me to my next point. What in the world is going on with the Penguin offense?
Well, they can't throw the ball.
No.
I mean, it's as simple as that. Ricky Davis, I think they wanted to have Ricky Davis
be that
multi-dimensional
the guy,
quarterback.
Right.
It just hasn't happened. Teams are just loading the box on him and daring him to throw. Now you have Hunter Wells. 2 years ago, he was a true freshman. He came in as a throwing quarterback.
It didn't go so well
has
here.
Has been
though.
Out all year, yeah. came back last week, but just 13 of 26. Now will Hunter Wells be a better thrower today?
What do you make of the Youngstown offense situation? Because we saw last year, Martin Ruiz and Jody Webb were dynamic, and the Bison couldn't tackle Webb throughout the entire football game last year.
NDSU knows that they can run the ball, that Youngstown can run the ball.
Yeah.
Can they make a couple big passing plays? If Youngstown is to win today, special teams, and they're going to have to make a play or two in the passing game. You can't line up and run it at NDSU. I think a lot of that Jody Webb stuff, they had some wrinkles at NDSU.
Boy, he was
maybe a little unprepared yeah. for last year, so maybe they'll throw a few more new wrinkles to get him in open space, because when Jody Webb gets in the open field, he's very dangerous.
You look at it, Kopech, statistically-wise, Ruiz has got double the carries that Webb has this season, so it seems like at least Bo has shifted that he wants Ruiz, and Ruiz is a talented player as well, though.
Well, Bo Planey said on one of the conference calls this week that he thinks Ruiz is running harder than he was this time last year. He's breaking more tackles, so I think he's going with a hot hand. I just think he thinks Ruiz is probably deserves a lion's share, and he's the guy he's going to go to.
But even if you look at that game last year, Webb had a lot of yards. He didn't have a lot of carries.
He's kind of the home run guy.
He's 5'9", 175. Right. You're just not going to give a guy like that 15 carries. He's more of the compliment. You keep on pounding Ruiz, and then he
right.
gives you that
Good
element
point.
Of speed on the edge.
Now, as we sit here with 3 weeks to go, and I know the hot topic for most Bison fans before they go in today is with the initial FCS playoff rankings that came out on Thursday that are still kind of leaving us scratching our heads. We interviewed the committee chair, Brian Hutchison, on our radio show. I still don't think we have any clarity into why NDSU is where they're at. My question to you is, does this serve as some, a little morsel of motivation for this football team that Chris Kleiman's going to use, say, hey, you're just the fourth best team in the country?
Absolutely. They'll do anything they can.
Yeah.
Any disrespect card they play, they'll play it in a heartbeat. So absolutely they'll use it. Again, the committee had no criteria. That just blows me away.
It's a head-scratcher, Big E, after hearing that this morning.
Sounds like Kopech in the pick'em. There's no method to his madness as well. But that's where it's – if they have a criteria and the reason why they came to this top 4, 5,
fine,
10 ranking,
yeah, fine.
Then you're like, all right, I might not agree with it, but you have a methodology.
Right.
But now it's like, it seems like it's just 10 people doing their own 10 different things, throwing ballots into a hat, and they didn't even talk about the vote. They voted and then they talked
right.
about it. To me, that sounds more of like a poll than as a
an actual ranking. Yes.
And I thought that this was supposed to be where the teams would actually be seated.
If
not like a poll, because he talked
right.
about it being a snapshot. A poll is a snapshot
of that particular week.
I just don't get why 10 athletic directors voted on a poll the way it sounds like, instead of coming up with rankings.
And here's the dilemma, because if everyone wins today, which could happen, everyone could lose as well. I mean, that's the greatness of this game. What if you move? If NDSU moves up, let's say they win today and they move from 4-2, how do you explain that to Sam Houston State and Jacksonville State?
Well, there's gonna be some grumpy come right out of Huntsville, yeah, Texas, and Jacksonville State. Obviously, I think you need criteria. You need a set. You know, strength of schedule is here, and that's just as important as head to head.
Right.
Something like that. To me, it's elementary. I think they're overthinking it.
I think so too, and it just makes things really interesting here as to watch, as we scoreboard watch for the last 3 weeks. I asked Chris Kleiman about that on Monday. He said, yeah, you always tend to look, but I thought it was interesting that they're scoreboard watching, and it starts today with some games that are going on around the league.
Well, yeah, slightly scoreboard watching, but then we asked Tim Pawlczyk about the poll, and did they pay attention? He said, well, a little bit. But you know, if they lose today, all bets are off.
Correct.
That's it. They know about the poll, but that's it. There's three games left.
Right. Take care of
this. This is more of the fans' outrage. Yeah. I'm sure the coaches look at it, well, you know, I don't really agree with it, but they know they got to win. If they don't beat Youngstown today,
then forget about it.
Slip up against Indiana State, slip up on the road to USD. None of this matters. So we're 3 weeks out. It's going to play out.
You're saying pump the brakes?
Yeah, park it.
All right.
To park it. Deflate a little air out of the tires, Cole Pack. Get a little high strung today.
Let's do some Missouri Valley picks here before we do our Bison game prediction. Northern Iowa kickoff coming up here at the top of the hour in Terre Haute against Indiana State. Panthers on life support. They have to win out and probably get some help.
Best 3-5 team in the history of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, a.k.a. the Gateway Conference.
Northern Iowa wins. What do you think?
Northern Iowa, I don't think they're on life support anymore. I don't think there'll be a 5-loss team in this year.
No.
I just think with the records.
Well, with the rankings
the
we saw, there's
rankings
no way they
came
get
out,
in.
And the Missouri Valley not having the dominant non-conference year that they had last year, I don't think a five-loss team gets in.
Aaron Bailey didn't make the trip for Northern Iowa, so Eli Dunn gets the start to get a quarterback for UNI. Illinois State at Western Illinois, a big game at Macomb, the 99th meeting between these two schools. I like Western off a big win last week at South Dakota. The Leathernecks are in the playoffs, I think, no matter what, with the base of their resume.
They've been just getting by lately, and I think today is where Illinois State will make them pay for a little bit for getting well into the fourth quarter. I don't think Illinois State will let them get back in the game like South Dakota did.
Off a big win last week against South Dakota State for Illinois State.
Can I flip a coin?
Yeah.
I'm going to Illinois State. I got to go with Brock Box back. He's my guy.
South Dakota needs to run the table to get into the FCS playoffs. That starts today in Carbondale. They get the win.
Easy. Carbondale, Southern Illinois is just having struggles. Their struggles, I think their confidence is down. The swag is gone. I think that whatever Jerry Kill had, Lennon wasn't able to maintain it, and they are rebuilding.
Boy, what could have been, Big E, for USD? If they hold that lead against North Dakota, if they hold the lead last week against Western Illinois, they're comfortably in the playoff talk right now.
That's what concerns you a little bit about this game if you're a USD fan, because they've lost. They've been in a couple of shootouts. They rally to beat Weber State late.
Yep.
Then they blow a big lead at UND. So Southern Illinois can put up points. That's the one team that team can do. I'm going with USD, but I think it's going to be a close and it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think USD and a squeaker there. I think we're all on the Jacks to take care of Missouri State today.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, and again, I thought maybe Big E should be down there to interview the committee chair.
That's Kyle Motes, who's the committee rep from Missouri State. All right, game picks. You're back. Everybody wanted you back. You lead off. Infamously, 4 years ago, not too far from our location, you picked Youngstown State to beat the Bison, and Youngstown lost that day 42-7. So where do you go today?
You know, I'm kind of in a little reflective mood, so I'll bring a little bit of that back.
Oh, you're going to bring that back. As always, you got to go to the prop bag.
The prop budget.
You got to get a sponsor for that bag. We need that, by the way. Oh, the Penguin is back.
The Penguin's back.
Get your mic. Here you go.
The Penguin has nothing to do with the pick. I just
wanted to bring that out.
Cole Pack likes the Penguin, but I do have something else in the bag, and I think it goes for NDSU as a team and maybe even the fan base.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, hold on. We're going back to the bag. Oh. Why?
I can't see right now. But we're back to flow mode.
Okay.
Flow mode. Andrew Bonnet's gone. I thought flow mode is gone forever.
Right.
Jeff Ilias.
Yes.
He's back in the flow. And I think it also, and a bigger thing, the NDSU team just got to let it flow. Chris Kleiman's talking about they're too tense. They're not having fun.
Not fun.
It's time to let it flow if you're the Bison, and I think it's time to let it flow if you're the NDSU fans. Forget about these rankings. Just go into the game, have fun, let it flow.
Final score?
That's it. It's going to be hard to get a flow against that Youngstown defense, but I'm going to say there'll be enough flow from NDSU, 21, Youngstown State, 14.
See, I thought there was a massive butt coming there about the flow. Now, last year, 2 years ago, my preseason pick, you ripped me because early in the season I picked Northern Iowa to beat NDSU, and then the day of the game I flip-flopped, and you called me out. I had no integrity, and of course, Northern Iowa won the football game. In August, Colpack, on our preseason picks, I picked Youngstown State to win this football game. And you got on me last week because you didn't think I had a good reason for Northern Iowa. I'm sticking with that pick. I think Youngstown comes here today. The Penguin defense makes one stop.
Hey, put the Penguin. I got a prop for you.
Make one stop. Youngstown wins this game 21-20 over NDSU this afternoon. That's what I'm going with.
I can't see it, but I assume you're holding the Penguin right now.
I've never been booed before. I enjoy that. You're last.
Well, I gotta say thanks to our host, Tom
Pratt.
It's his 60th birthday
party
today.
Yeah, how about that? Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
So in honor of my friend Tom, I gotta go with the Bison. Defensive struggle.
Right, I was about to say, you're gonna say they're gonna score 60 today at Tom's birthday?
Put up 60?
I'm going back to the days of Dakota Field.
Okay.
NDSU 10, Youngstown 9. The days of Jaws in honor of my friend Tom.
All right, there it is. That's our Bison Media Blog pregame show, folks. Our live blog begins at 1:30 on Inforum.com. We'll be back, complete highlights and reaction on Channel 6 after the game. And, of course, our postgame show to wrap it up. Bison, Penguins for first place in the Missouri Valley. We're letting it flow. We'll see you guys after the game inside the Dome.